Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
David sent me a note about a story. It's rather timely. I don't know if you heard or not, but there's going to be an eclipse. A total eclipse of the sun. You thought I was going to say heart, didn't you? Travel agency loses $30,000 after Buffalo Hotel cancels eclipse reservation for hundreds of tourists. And I've actually heard of this happening in more than one place. Sarah Minkowitz wrote this for WIVB, a travel agency. Bringing more than 200 people to Buffalo for the eclipse, says they were all left scrambling to find a place for their guests to stay after a local hotel canceled their reservation. The man who owns the tour company said, "We've spent 2 years preparing for this event to make it a great event. We're in the process of possibly losing it all in one fell swoop." So it looks like they're not going to lose it all, but they came close. His company is based in New Jersey, and his agency is planning on bringing 250 people to Buffalo for the total solar eclipse on April 8th. He said, "You guys in Buffalo are in the totality of the eclipse. People are coming from all over the world." To prepare for the trip, he'd set up arrangements for the travelers to stay at several local hotels. He signed a contract with two different hotels to reserve more than 100 rooms. In January, as the date of the eclipse neared, because keep in mind he's been working on this for some time now, his team emailed back and forth with the hotel management to go over logistics, including breakfast accommodations. Everything seemed squared away. Then a month ago, he found out the reservations were all canceled. He said he was told over the phone by a hotel staff member that, and this is a quote, "We're canceling your contract, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts." He said he's given no explanation for the canceling. After working with another company and the local visitor bureau, they were able to secure hotel rooms elsewhere, but at a higher rate. And that is what's going on here, by the way. We'll get there. We end up finding space to cover the three groups, but of course, we're now paying $150 to $200 a room, where my company is going to take the hit on because I can't pass it on to my clients. So he'd already done the math on this as to what he could sell this package for, and he'd built in the other hotel costs, which are now canceled, and they were cheaper than this. So he said he's losing about $30,000 because of this and is looking into his legal options, of which he has one really good one called breach of contract. It's just bad business. It's sad. Now we have to go through hiring an attorney and fighting them out to at least recoup the losses. At this point, we're taking a hit, and I guess we're going to end up, you know, in court. And that's the end of the story. And so I'd heard this happening someplace else, and of course, the eclipse, as it happens, actually goes across, and if you look at the maps, it kind of goes across the United States, and there's some places that are better than others to view it. I guess in Michigan, it's not going to be a total eclipse, except down in the very, very bottom, I think, right-hand corner of the state, down here. But I've heard of other hotels doing cancellations like this. And here's the thing. Two years ago, this eclipse was not on anybody's figurative radar. As far as I know, I had not heard about this till recently, except it was on the radar of those people who are really into these kinds of things. So somebody in the travel industry figured this out, said, "Hey, wait a second. Strangely, I'll be able to make money booking trips to Buffalo in April, so long as they do it that year where they're doing the eclipse." I heard you guys are doing an eclipse here. And so then the guy contacts a couple hotels, books out the blocks of rooms, which they're happy to do. And I assure you that the people at the hotel never realized, oh, wait, this guy's booking for the second week of April of next year because of an eclipse. And because of the eclipse, there actually would be a premium on rooms that particular weekend. Wait a second. And so they most likely said, instead of selling them to this guy at our typical rate, we can sell them to other people at a higher rate. So let's cancel the contract with this guy and then just sell them at the higher rate. And this is such a common problem in contract law. It goes back hundreds of years. And if you were allowed to cancel a contract simply because you could make more money by breaking it, contracts would become meaningless. Guess what the number one reason is that people break contracts? They think they can make more money someplace else. And so there is a concept in the common law And it goes back hundreds of years, probably more than that, probably goes back 1,000 years, that if you and I enter into a binding contract, especially for the sale of something, like let's suppose that I sell widgets. I sell widgets. And widgets have a market price that fluctuates. Sometimes of the year, they're not worth so much. Sometimes they're worth a lot. If the widget crop fails, those who have them can name their own price. So, however, to protect myself, I decide to sell my widgets way down the road into the future so that I don't have to worry about the fluctuations in price. So let's suppose widgets selling at $75 is break even for me, but $100 I make a profit. $125 I make really good money, but people won't pay that unless times are tough. And so I actually meet somebody who says, Steve, I'll buy your July output, all the widgets you make in July, and I'll give you $100 for them. I'll guarantee that price right now. And I say, okay, we sign a contract, we shake hands, we do everything we can do to memorialize the contract. And as the date approaches for me to deliver those widgets, the widget crop fails in every other state but mine. I'm sitting on a gold mine, and I know it. People are calling me going, Steve, do you have widgets? We'll pay $200, $300 a piece for them. I should be saying no because I haven't got any sell. I said I'm going to sell my entire output of that 1 month to the buyer, but I can make more money. Well, you understand, of course, if the exact opposite had happened, that is the price had crashed and he wanted to back out, what would I do? I'd sue to enforce the contract. So guess what? When the price goes in his favor and I back out, you can sue me. And that makes complete sense. Otherwise, like I said, none of these contracts would ever be enforceable. And so the law has evolved over the years to allow those kinds of contracts to be enforceable. Because if they aren't enforceable, then why do we even have contracts? So it'll be interesting to see what happens here because there's two things that come into play in modern times. The most obvious one is, were there terms and conditions as part of the contract that the hotel gave the travel agent? In other words, did it say in there, we guarantee these prices except for, and did it contain a bunch of outs for them? Now, simply having an out because they can get more money from somebody else probably isn't in there, but they might have something else in there that suggests that as long as they cancel with a certain amount of time, they're allowed to do it. And a court might allow that, especially if it went both ways. That is, either party could cancel it up to a certain time. But if it simply says, oh, the hotel can cancel, but you can't, court might not enforce that. And the other problem you have these days is your attorney fees and court costs are probably not recoverable if you are the travel agent, even if you win. So in other words, you can sue for your damages, which is the cost of you covering the contract elsewhere. That's what they call it. But you probably can't get your attorney fees and court costs back. So if you sue them for $30,000 and you win and spend $15,000, $20,000 chasing that, you'll still come out ahead, but it's not making you whole. And that's the sad part, because that really ought to be the case. But that's simply a rule that goes back quite a ways as well. However, keep in mind that, I remember reading cases on this in law school. Somebody would contract for the sale of oil next year. Somebody would contract for the sale of some other crop next year. And those are things that often do this. And somebody who's in the hotel industry would know that, oh, every year we get more business this time of the year. Think spring break, Miami, right? Or think, you know, Northern Lights in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I mean, there are certain things that people go to see certain times of the year. And fall color tours, you know, that kind of thing. And so the people in the hospitality business know which dates and seasons are hot. And so chances are, a couple years ago, not a lot of people were thinking, boy, April 8th, 2024, hotel rooms will be a hot ticket in Buffalo. Why? What's happening in Buffalo? An eclipse, apparently. So we'll see what happens. I feel sorry for the guy. I'm glad he got it covered, because otherwise he would have gotten sued by 250 people, you know, because he contracted to help these people. And that's the other strange thing. I think courts should, and they often do, pay more attention to a contract that is tied to other contracts. So this guy, the travel agent, in essence, painted himself into a corner. But he thought he had an out because he's like, okay, I've got this contract in place, so I'm all set. He then sells these packages to all these people over here. And if that contract goes bad, it screws up his contracts with all these people. Now, obviously, 250 people is probably 125 couples, give or take. But still, that's a lot of contracts. So I hope that whoever handles this in court, judge-wise, recognizes that and that that's brought to the attention of the court. That, you know, this guy, in reliance on the hotel's promises, went and booked all these tours. And by the way, that's the other thing that you can often point to in a contract case. And I'm not going to get too heavily into that because there's entire books written on the concept of reliance. But if I come to you and I say, hey, will you do this for me, or will you sell this for me, or will you, you know, and I ask you to do something, and you agree to do it, and we enter into a contract, whatever the legally binding requirements are in your state, okay, that can hinge on how much the contract is for and so on. And if you say, yes, I will do that, and then I go and act to my detriment in reliance upon your promise to fulfill the contract, if you then breach the contract, I can come into court and say, Your Honor, it's breach of contract. And the judge says, well, you know, it's your word against his. It's like, no, look what I went and did based on that promise, which was reasonable, by the way. So I had signed contracts with these hotels, and they said, we will rent you this many rooms for these prices. And based upon that promise, I put together these packages and I sold them to 250 people. And then they call me up 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before, and they go, oh, by the way, we can't do the hotel thing anymore. Your reservations are all gone. No ifs, ands, or buts. A judge could look at that and go, okay, we're to talk about how enforceable that contract is, the fact that this guy relied upon it. Again, however, I have not seen the written version of these contracts, and the question is, are there any claims, conditions, and ways out buried in the fine print? And we'll have to wait and see. But David, thanks for sending it. That's from WIVB. Sarah Minkowitz wrote it. Travel agency loses $30,000 after Buffalo Hotel cancels Eclipse reservation for hundreds of tourists. Questions, comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. It is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more that is poor.